I'm trapped with. Of course I have questions, especially since it's too dark for me to see anything. He makes a noise that should sound sympathetic, but is actually anything but.
Yeah, well, there is a solution for a large part of that.
Hope leaps in my stomach.
Which is? He gives a long-suffering sigh. Turn on the fucking light, obviously.
A quick, sharp click of a switch being flicked echoes through the emptiness. A half second later, brightness floods the world around me.
2.
Headspace, talk space. Give me some space.
Grace.
Pain assaults my eyeballs, and I spend a few interminable seconds blinking like a mole just emerging from the earth. But when I can finally see again, I realize I'm in a room. A very large loft, at least half the size of a football field, with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves stretching the entire length of the wall in front of me. The top shelf is crowded with candles of every size and shape imaginable. And for a moment, a new worry creeps in. But a quick glance around shows that there's no altar in sight. No jars of blood. No creepy spellbook meant to hasten my journey to the afterlife. Which I take as a very good sign. I mean, there are only so many times a girl can handle being the human sacrifice du jour. And I'm pretty sure I've already reached my limit. Plus one. Another quick glance around reveals nothing scary at all about the room I'm in. In fact, the entire area looks like one of those fancy furniture catalog showrooms. The three main walls, not covered in bookshelves, are painted a bright white, with lamps and chandeliers bathing the entire space in soft, warm light. My gaze bounces around the space, a gorgeous mix of modern and rustic furniture, in white, tan, or black, arranged in 8 distinctive areas by the strategic placement of rugs and seating. There's an area filled with albums crowding 2 giant black metal shelves and an impressive media cabinet. Farther down is an exercise space, a target practice area, and then a gaming section dominated by a massive flat-screen TV and a super comfy-looking couch with game controllers scattered on the white cushions. There's a bedroom area with a big white bed, library space with rows and rows of books filled to bursting on too many bookshelves to count, a reading nook with a black accent wall, kitchen, and what must be the bathroom in the rear. Everything feels almost soothing, like coming home. Well, unless, of course, you count the disembodied voice that keeps talking in the back of my head, a voice that very definitely does not belong to me or my conscience.
Do you like the accent wall? It's Armani Black, he says,
and I have to grit my teeth against telling him what he can do with this Armani Black, not to mention the condescension he's got dripping from every proper British syllable. But antagonizing whoever this guy is doesn't seem like the best bet right now, especially not when I still have to get my bearings. Instead, I settle for trying, one more time, to get some answers.
Why are you doing this to me?
A heavy sigh.
There you go again. Stealing my line.
I'm so freaked out that it takes a moment for his words to register. When they do, I can't help squawking and throwing my hands wide.
I already told you, I'm not doing this. I don't even know what this is. Yeah, well, sorry to contradict your self-delusion, but it's got to be you. Because vampires can do a lot of things, but we sure as fuck can't do this.
The way he says fuck this time comes out more like fuck, his accent growing heavier with each word. And I have the inane urge to giggle.
Yeah, well, neither can I.
In fact, I break off as the rest of his words sink in.
You're a vampire? Well, I'm sure as shit not a werewolf. And since I'm not breathing fire or waving a magic wand out of my ass, you do the maths.
I don't know what you're waving out of your ass or otherwise, because I can't see you, I snap. Where exactly are you anyway? And more importantly, who are you? He doesn't answer. Big surprise. But before I can say anything else, there's a small sound behind me, like the whisper of expensive fabric brushing against itself. I whirl around, fists raised and heart pounding, only to find a very tall, very good-looking guy with a modern pompadour and excellent taste in clothing, if the black silk shirt and black dress pants are any indication. He's leaning a shoulder against a bookshelf as he stares at me through narrowed arctic blue eyes, his hands shoved deep into his pockets. It takes a second for what I'm seeing.